All right. The New York Times. The New York Times is actually editing themselves now. They're actually editing facts out. This is according to the reporters that say, okay, we had the line about Kavanaugh, about the woman not remembering that the incident, you know, and we had that in there. It was the editors of the New York Times that had it removed. Oh. So now they're hiding the news. But that shouldn't be anything new. Last night, some new evidence was discovered on the Twitters of Ilhan Omar. Wait until you hear the latest. Oh, it should be an interesting day. Unless the news decides to edit it all out, which they have so far. We'll give you this delicious story on Ilhan Omar in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, Stu.
Glenn.
Stu.
You know, I've spent many hours.
Many hours.
On these airwaves.
Yes.
Saying how much I hate social media.
Right.
And how worthless it is.
Yes.
It's worthless. I can't
Would you
stand
say that
it.
Today?
Today is one of the days
you
that
not.
Social media
uh-huh.
is worth quite a bit.
Yeah.
It appears.
We can't figure out. We've been trying. Okay, wait a minute. Can you check this? Yes, we did. It's verified. All right. It's so good that we just have this feeling like it can't be true, but we've checked every way we know, and it passes all the verification tests that we know.
Yeah. Look, it's too good to check, but we actually did check it.
Yes, that's right.
And so
we
far,
take our own advice.
I am at that point right now of saying, like, the only thing I have to believe that this might not be true
yeah.
is that
it's just so good.
That's part of it.
Right, okay.
But it's also, I just don't understand how this person would not have deleted this before a couple of hours ago.
Arrogance.
Because I don't know. I guess that's
sloppiness and arrogance. Okay,
sloppiness.
You didn't see it
because arrogance.
But you would post it because you're so arrogant.
Or you're just at that point kind of unknown. This is back from 2013.
Yeah, I guess
we're talking about Ilhan Omar.
By the way, do we have the Ilhan Omar theme?
Oh,
this is actually theme worthy.
Yes, it
to
certainly
have
is.
Ilhan Omar.
It's a happy way to tell this story.
It really is.
Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar.
Okay, so we've been asking for a while, did Ilhan Omar marry her brother? Now, it sounds ridiculous.
Does it?
Well, on the surface, it sounds like, God, he doesn't have a birth certificate. He wasn't married. He was not born in America. Well, here's the Hawaiian newspaper announcement from, 1961? Yeah, well, that's not enough. Okay, whatever. So it sounds a little ridiculous. However, the Minneapolis Star Tribune has looked into this. Several other journalists, including us, have looked into this. No one will pick this story up. No one will pick this story up in the national press. And there's a lot around this. But one of the more interesting claims is that she married her brother. Now, the reason why she married her brother is because we think she wanted him to go to school here in the United States and get some, I don't know, family discount or whatever. But the interesting part of the story, which we'll explain, is there's all kinds of evidence online. There's pictures. We know how she got into the country. We know that her family was split. Half her family took one name. She took the Omar name, which is not her original name. She took the Omar name because she went in, which was very common for Somalis to do. They would come in as a family, even though they weren't a family. They'd get some members of a family, this case, the Omars. And then the Omars would be in the refugee camp, and they'd be like, yeah, this is our other daughter as well. That's how she came in. That's how she got the name Omar. That's not her real name. Okay? Now, her real name, I think, is Saeed, is it not?
El-Nur
Saeed, I think.
El-Nur Saeed
is the father. Abu Naur Saeed is the father. Okay?
Got it.
Got it?
Oh my gosh. Do I have it?
Yeah, you have it.
Okay. Got it.
All right. So, Elmi Naur Saeed is the brother.
Okay. So, what?
Yeah.
Elmi was her, was Ilan's last name, we believe.
Yeah, I think it's right? Like President Xi. His
right,
name
like
is Xi
Kim
Jinping.
Jong-un.
Yeah,
right,
it's like, the reverse.
Right, Kim right. is the last. Yeah, right. Okay.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay.
No. This is important.
All right. No, it's important. It is important. And I'll tell the story the right way here in just a second.
Okay.
So it'll take you all the way through it. But let me just give you the great tweet that was found last night, buried in all of her tweets. This one was posted 6/16/13. So in 2013, she wrote, oh, wait a minute, 6/16, that's a summer. Oh, that's around Father's Day. Hmm. So she wrote, "Happy Father's Day to my Abu Naur Saeed. I am forever grateful to Allah for giving me the best father." Then she links to
an Instagram
mm-hmm. Pic. Now, here's the problem. Her father's name is Nur Omar Mohammed. Or is it? This is the person that we've been saying is her father, not Omar. But this is her father, the one she verified in her tweet in 2013 as being her dad.
Now,
if that's her dad,
she's committed crimes, right?
Yeah, she's committed crimes. She's married her brother. And all the stuff that she's talking about with her brother is a lie. Oh, that's not my brother. That's not my brother. That's my husband. Mm. No, that is clearly your brother. If this is your dad, because we have pictures of you, your dad, and your brother and your sister together. What a weird thing that is. We also have we have evidence, and we know for a fact that dad, sister, and brother all live together in England. We have pictures of that guy who lives in England being your husband. So we're not sure how to make this out any other way, Ilan, other than you married your brother.
This is such a stupid millennial mistake.
Oh, this is crazy.
You're in the middle of committing this crime. You're like, I got a tweet about it, though. I just love... That is the typical dumb way this should unravel.
Yeah, and what's amazing. Here's what's amazing. You would think, well, she hadn't committed anything yet. Okay? No. She married her brother in 2009. She got a divorce from her brother in 2011. And it's a legal marriage. What's weird is she was married to another guy in a faith marriage. And she got married in a Muslim faith marriage in 2002. They had two kids. Then they got a faith divorce. A month later, she has a legal Christian marriage with her brother.
And she's a big, hardcore Christian.
Oh, big Christian. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know Ilan Omar is a big, you know, very...
I mean, when you think Ilan Omar, you immediately think, what preacher do we call to get this wedding done? Don't you?
I think the explanation here would be she had not really established herself in any public way where she would need to care about what she was
right.
tweeting, right? Like, no,
right.
The average person is not going to get in trouble for this
correct.
When it comes to a tweet. Like, you
correct.
Know, there's no immigration service going around like looking for tweets of this type, right? That's not a thing.
Right.
But when you become a representative, people start looking at your record and actually care about what you've done.
And the fact that she had a faith marriage with two kids. Then she gets a faith divorce. A month later, she gets a legal marriage, a Christian marriage, to her brother. They honeymoon at college for 4 years. The minute he graduates from college, she separates from her brother, but doesn't divorce. She separates from him. Then she gets a new faith remarriage a couple of months later, literally like 2 months later. She remarries in faith to her old husband. But then in 2014, she files a joint return with her husband and the faith marriage. Okay.
Obviously.
But she's married legally to her brother, but she hadn't gotten a divorce yet. Then the lies just spiral out of control.
It's so confusing. Without looking at the chalkboard that you have here, it's almost impossible to understand. This is why, by the way, we did a big special on this. You can go to YouTube and watch it. There's a Blaze TV special.
Yeah, in fact, let's retweet that. Let's retweet those links out. But there are several. Let's see if we can get the Blaze to put those up at the front, too. So you can go. If you're a subscriber to the Blaze and you haven't seen this, there is a special that we did. We laid it all out, and it's super, super clear. And when you see the facts, it's pretty open and shut. You know, we can't prove that she was the one that put this tweet out, but we can tell you that it's in the Wayback Machine. It was deleted about 2 hours ago. We're going to talk to one of the guys who found it coming up in just a second. But this is her saying that's her father. If that's her father, then she's not an Omar. There's your first fraud. She came into America under fraudulent terms. Her next fraud is marrying her brother. For what reason? Oh, by the way. The kids, the ex-husband, and her new husband, her brother, were all living together at the same place in the same house for 4 years. So I'm sure the kids understood that, you know. Hey, I'm just going to have relations with my brother, your stepfather. Oh, well, don't worry about it, kids. I'll be back with your dad as soon as we finish school.
Alon Omar.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Dale. He's a listener to the program. He was always a tough guy. You know, he worked years in construction. He was the kind of guy that would look at me and go, "You're pathetic." You know, that kind of guy. He had stamina. He had strength. Everybody knew, you know, everybody knew him as the guy. Well, then he had back problems. You know why? Because he was working. That's why. That's how you get back problems. Well, I got it because I fell. But other people get back problems because they're working. And that's what he had. He had two back surgeries. Then he had to have a shoulder surgery, a knee replacement. Dale had lost what really Dale felt made him him. And I will tell you that with pain, I have had many, many mornings. And I'm just now at the point to where I'm not humiliated by it. But still feel super tender to my wife for putting up with it and being so kind. I had many days where she would have to get up and button my shirts, or she would have to tie my shoes. And there is nothing like being a man and standing in your closet, not able to button your shirt, and having to ask your wife to get up and help you. It is horrible. Especially a guy like me, I'm practically all chick. I can't even imagine what it was like for Dale. All right. Dale heard me talking about Relief Factor. Didn't have a lot of hope, but he decided to give it a try. Dale, I was with you. Within a couple of weeks, the pain was almost entirely gone. Relief Factor is a great way to reduce the inflammation that causes pain, and it works for 70% of those who try it. It's not a drug, and it's not a miracle, although it does seem like it. Doesn't fix all the problems, but man, it really reduces the pain, makes it totally livable. Some cases, it's gone. For $19.95, you can get the 3-week quick start. It worked for Dale. It worked for me. Get your quality of life back. In my case, and I bet Dale feels the same way, get your life back. Want to be drug-free? Want to get out of pain? ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID. Okay, so you know how this started? This started with Ilhan Omar being exposed on Somali Blogspot. Now, the Somali Blogspot is this place where the Somali community in Minnesota all kind of hang out, and they you know, share stories, and, you know, they're all Somalis. Well, there was a story on Somali Blogspot from Abdi Johnson. Now, it was a post where he said that she has a marriage fraud and it's going to be exposed. And the user went on to explain how she married her brother to help him get into the United States. And he lists the social media posts to back up his case. Local media did nothing. But then all of a sudden, Abdi Johnson disappears and all of that is deleted from the Somali Blogspot. Why? Why was that deleted? Well, I contend, and this is just speculation, but I contend there is a mob-like atmosphere in this community. And if you speak out about the wrong things, you are silenced one way or another. This is not unusual, and it is not against Somalis. You know, the Germans had it, the Irish had it, the Italians had it. Every group has this mentality, especially when they don't speak the language, they're new to the country, there can be real control. I also contend that the reason why no one is looking into this is because Keith Ellison is the attorney general in Minnesota. Keith Ellison, what a surprise, is the guy who left Congress to become the attorney general so she could become a congresswoman. It's a nice little warm and cozy relationship. By the way, the woman she has now left her third husband, she now will be her third husband if she, wait, one, two, three, he would be her fourth husband. She's left her first husband twice and her brother once. Now she's dating a guy and wildly in love with. She's dating a guy who used to be Keith Ellison's main, I don't even know, fundraiser? What would you call him, Stu? Because he wasn't really a fundraiser. He was, but he was being paid like he was bringing in millions of dollars. Right. And she's paying him millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point.
Whatever he's doing, it's valuable.
It's very
that,
valuable. There's all kinds of stuff that is really, really wrong with Ilhan Omar. The question is, will this discovery that just happened in the overnight of a tweet she posted in 2013 wishing the person we have been saying is her father, which links her marriage now to her brother, wishing her father by name a happy Father's Day and saying she's forever grateful to Allah for giving her the best father. I don't know. Seems pretty clear now, doesn't it? Anybody else want to look into this? New York Times, are you too busy deleting information?
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Welcome to the program. Your response on Ilhan Omar and her Father's Day message to Abu Nur Saeed, which is not her father's name, according to her. Her father's name, according to her, is Naur Omad? Naur Omar Mohammed. That's how she gets Ilhan Omar. It's from her father that she claims is her father. But Now we found another tweet from 2013. Happy Father's Day to my Abu Nur Saeed. I'm forever grateful to Allah for giving me the best father. Now, which one is it? By the way, the one she just said Happy Father's Day to is the guy who is the father of those who we allege is her brother. Her brother. Who she married.
It would be very coincidental.
Very coincidental.
I mean, there's a couple things. Mm-hmm. The tweet actually ends. It says, thank you, grateful for to Allah for giving me the best father, .. So it's an .... and then an Instagram link. So this was not a native tweet. What it was is an Instagram post that she cross-posted to Twitter. So it is cut off in the middle of this word. Now, does she say... You know, thank you, Allah, for giving me the best father, and I wish that he was actually my real father because he's not, and I actually am.
Can you go back to the Wayback Machine?
Unlikely.
And get the Instagram? The Instagram post.
I don't think so. It doesn't look like I tried to make it come up, and it has not come up. We can get the Wayback Machine on the tweet. Because,
yeah, on the tweet we have it.
And probably the most damning part of this, right, is as soon as it was found by Caleb Hull, immediately after she deleted it.
So she's got something to hide.
And this is what? The 20th thing she's deleted since all this started? Yeah. Finds something, she starts deleting
it. We have the tweets of her saying, this is my sister, this is my brother, this is my father. Here's another one. I mean, how, you know, before it was like, well, how do you know those tweets were real? Well, because you just deleted this one. You, within 2 hours of being found, you deleted it. So we know this one is true. Well, I don't need to answer unless you know that I did it. Well, the Wayback Machine shows that you did it. This one, we do know. It was posted. We have it. We had it for 2 hours. Then she deleted it. So we'll get more into that. I hope to have Caleb on with us. Caleb Hull is the guy who we think found this. He said the tweet is from 2013 on Ilhan Omar's official account, appears to be damning evidence that she did indeed marry her brother. Wow, she probably should have deleted this one as well. All right, we welcome Pat Gray to the program, part of the Blaze lineup. You can watch him every day prior to this show. You can listen to him on Blaze Radio, or you can listen to the podcast, Pat Gray Unleashed, wherever you listen to your podcast. Great show. Very, very funny. And welcome, Pat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Have you seen the story about the Chinese drug situation?
No, I have not.
Actually, it's America's drug situation that is provided to us by the Chinese.
You go to Walmart. You are not going to believe the coincidence. All right, yeah. Go ahead. No, tell the
story. You go to Walmart and you know just about every product there is made in China, right? I had no idea our antibiotics are made in China. I had no idea. And not only that, but also other kinds of medicine, super important medicine, like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, just so... I mean, this is the biggest advance in modern history. Most people agree antibiotics are the thing that is... that has helped the world the most.
Yes.
It's all made in China. So American national security officials are now a little concerned about a scenario where the antibiotics and other drugs that are manufactured in China could be cut off completely. Or they could send them to us tainted with something. And because most of our supply comes from there, the vast majority of our supply comes from there, really not much... we could do about it because we rely on these drugs that are manufactured mostly in China. They're growing increasingly concerned about China's potentially hostile ambitions. The pharmaceutical supply chain is receiving new scrutiny as a result. If China shut the door on exports of medicines and their key ingredients and raw material, U.S. hospitals and military hospitals and clinics would cease to function within months, if not days.
Okay, can I give you? I'm going to just read a couple of the paragraphs of a monologue I'm going to be doing later today on this broadcast.
Yeah,
because we were talking about it yesterday, so we did our homework. Not that story, on something else. Trade wars are nothing new. Neither are drug wars. History doesn't always repeat itself, but it usually rhymes. In the 17 and 1800s, China very reluctantly cracked open the door to allow limited foreign trade. It wasn't that China was opening up as much as they were just getting tired of foreign powers pestering them about trade. By the early 1800s, Great Britain was the most prolific trade power. So once China cracked open the door, the British tried to kick it in because of their insatiable thirst for tea. Silk, porcelain, big hits from China as well, but tea became the king. By the mid-1700s, tea had already made up 25% of the English East India Company imports in Europe. It didn't take long, now listen to this, for a trade balance to develop, because the Chinese liked selling their stuff to high-rolling Europeans, but they didn't have much use for the Western stuff, cotton, wool, manufactured goods. China just wasn't interested. Britain rained money on China, but they weren't getting any business in return from the 1780s to the 1820s. The Great Britain was running a deficit in the millions of pounds. So Britain had an idea on how to break this trade war. They had to find something that the Chinese would be interested in buying. The solution was a little drug called opium.
Mm-hmm.
Since Britain had taken over India in the late 1700s, they had plenty of access to opium, which grew well in northern India. The opium worked like a charm to help correct the trade imbalance. By the 1830s, China was importing 14 tons of British opium per year. So wow. How did they break the trade war? Opium.
Opium. Yeah.
How are they breaking the trade war? Possibly. Why is the government looking into this right now? Because of antibiotics and other drugs that they are making for us.
Right.
That right. I don't think is a coincidence. That is China knowing history and
sure
us
is.
Not.
Yeah. And planning for the future, because that's what China does. China plans, you know, not a year or two in advance. They plan 50 or 100 years in advance. They're really patient. They've been around a long time. They're pretty wise. And they do things like this.
And conveniently,
they know
they
what they're doing.
Worry about any elections.
Right.
It makes it a lot easier to plan for a long time.
Yeah, it does.
When you don't have to worry about
when
anything.
When you've got a guy who's in there for life.
Yeah, you just kind of kill everyone who doesn't like you.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier.
It also is easier to sell your product when you don't really care about standards.
True.
I mean, think of the control that they have over us if they are providing our medicine.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's chilling.
Yeah. We talk about, hey, the steel industry. Oh, we
try
need
drugs.
The steel industry. Try drugs.
What if
we're not making our own drugs and antibiotics and China is and we go to war? You want to live like the 1860s?
It's interesting, too, because one of the reasons why the trade stuff has been damaging to the economy is because China is the one with the high standards. Like, they go to China mm-hmm. because they have higher standards than many of the other countries we could be producing it in. Their supply chain and production processes are much more refined than other countries. So, I mean, that is it's quite a statement. It's quite a statement, especially when you're talking about ingesting drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if they ever decide to get nasty with us, that would be a pretty good way to get. They could kill tens of millions of people.
Yeah,
if they tainted drugs that are going, and we might not even know what's going on, why people are dying for, you know, a while. It would take some time to track that down. It would be a catastrophe. It would be
what are we doing about it? What's the story say we're doing about it?
It said the Pentagon is starting to take notice.
Okay, well, that's...
But they don't say exactly what we're doing, because I don't think we're doing anything right now. I don't know what we can do, because everything's produced there, from blood pressure medicine to Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, epilepsy, depression medication, and the antibiotics. So unless we start taking all of that on and producing it here... which I would recommend we start doing.
I would recommend we start doing that big time.
Like, right away.
Yeah, or even stockpiling.
Now, you know, it's going to raise the price of those medications, which is what everyone's complaining about already.
True, but
That's something the government should do. That's something maybe the government, not I'm talking about stockpiling. fronting enough mm-hmm. money to stockpile it. And then, you know, that stockpile is constantly, you know, churned. Nothing ages.
Could you stockpile that? I mean, that is an
It'd be a lot. It'd have to be a lot.
I don't know.
Of medication.
You know, we haven't made...
You should antibiotics and things like that.
I mean,
you don't have to have everything, but at least...
But at least antibiotics.
Biggest life-saving medicine. Antibiotics go.
Yeah.
You got nothing.
We haven't made penicillin in this country since 2004. That's when the last plant closed. Did we have no foresight? Did we have...
Didn't we think
about this in advance?
Wasn't this one of the things... If I'm remembering the story right, they had changed some of the standards. The government forced a lot of these companies out of the country.
Yes.
Because
yes.
they had changed...
Seems familiar.
Yeah,
very familiar.
And it was about vaccines and things like penicillin. Now, look, we all know it's more difficult to produce anything here in the United States. It's a lot more expensive. But I would think that there's certain staples, right, that you want to make sure you have access to.
Mothball. Mothball the factories that made it.
And if you're in the middle of a tenuous situation... with a different country, like you want to spread that production out if it's possible, right? Like, how much can we get from Canada?
And right,
you know, I mean, there's a because if everything's being produced in China, you are dependent on China.
And if you're thinking,
that can't happen, they would never do that.
Listen to this line. maybe this will make you feel really good. A Chinese manipulation of drug ingredients or supply may seem like a fairly remote possibility, but a state-run Chinese paper this week said that there's little chance the government would deliberately harm Americans by cutting off the flow of antibiotics. There's little chance. Wait.
Oh, okay.
There is a chance, though.
So you're saying there's a chance.
That makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Welcome to the program. I'm so glad that you're here. We have a lot of things to cover today. We'll have more on Ilhan Omar, also Kavanaugh, the New York Times, and the new opium war. The new opium war. We were talking about China and drugs a few minutes ago. History doesn't repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. We'll give you that coming up.
Listening to Glenn Beck.